I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. My friend Chris Ducker is on the show this week. We have had numerous chances to hang out with each other, and I'm going to be hanging out with him again in March of 2017 as a speaker at Tropical Think Tank, which I'm really excited about. We talk about that during this episode. We also talk about the idea of Youpreneur, some of the, you know, the books that he's been surprised by, things like that. But the books that he's been surprised by, humor, all that kind of stuff, falls into the Patreon bonus content that you would get as a Patreon supporter. So head over to patreon.com/productivityist to learn more about that. Enough about that, though. This is a great conversation with a really smart guy. So glad to have Chris on the show. We talk about a ton of stuff, all entrepreneurial related. We have a blast, and I hope you enjoy it. So here is my conversation with my friend Chris Ducker on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. I'd like to welcome Chris Ducker to the Productivityist Podcast. Chris, thanks for joining me today.
It is all my pleasure, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're recording this in the evening hours here. What time is it where you're at right now?
It's almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon here in the Philippines.
So you're post lunch. I'm post dinner, almost ready for nightcap.
Well, I'm mid launch, really. If we're going to get technical here, I'm mid launch.
Yeah. So, first off, we've known each other for a number of years now. I'm glad to finally have you on the show because it's been, you know, I mean,
yeah. What took you so bloody long?
I know. It's the time difference. It's the time difference. But I wanted to talk to you today about, first off, the growth of your business from where you, when we first met, you were doing a lot of stuff revolving around virtual, and you still do virtual assistant stuff. Like, let's be clear. But there's been, and I just had a podcast episode a couple months ago where we talked about pivoting, and I don't want to use that term because it's not really a pivot, but you've, would you say there's been like a shift or just an enhancement or perhaps an evolution into what you do at your site, chrisducker.com, where there's a focus more on the larger sense of entrepreneurial, you know, pursuits and entrepreneurism? Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't necessarily think it is a pivot per se, although it was intentional. It wasn't by accident. What happened really was when I first started, you know, blogging almost, 7 years ago now. When I first started blogging and podcasting, I was focused more on the virtual assistant and the team building and the outsourcing type of thing. And I still have businesses. I have two different businesses, one which is a very large BPO call center in the Philippines, and then one other, which is Virtual Starfinder, which a lot of people online know me for because it's aimed more towards the entrepreneur and the small business owner rather than the big corporate firms that we take care of at the call center. So I'm still involved in the outsourcing game. I still talk about, you know, outsourcing and the importance of virtual team delegation. Obviously, we've got Virtual Freedom, which is coming up on almost 3 years old now and still selling very, very well. But what happened was I noticed that people weren't saying things like, are you checking out? Because when I first started blogging, I was blogging under the banner of Virtual Business Lifestyle, which is, I think, where you and I kind of first started conversing with each other many, many moons ago, right? Mm-hmm. So I noticed a couple of years into that blogging and that podcasting journey, people weren't saying, do you read Virtual Business Lifestyle? Or do you listen to the Virtual Business Lifestyle podcast? They were saying, do you listen to Chris Ducker's podcast? Do you read Chris Ducker's blog? So this personal brand element of my business online started to develop quite unintentionally, actually. But going into the latter part of 2012, I really decided that this is what I wanted to do. I want to focus on the personal brand, on the thought leadership, on that kind of entrepreneurial pursuit type focus in terms of creating content and helping people build profitable businesses. And that's exactly what I decided to go ahead and do. And we hit the button late 2012 and everything just blew up. book deal came in, speaking went through the roof, which was already there, but it went through the roof. Obviously, we redesigned and relaunched everything at chrisducker.com. And, you know, it was only another couple of years down the line when Youpreneur turned up. We're now, a year and a half into that. And it kind of all just morphed. It was intentional, but I wouldn't call it a pivot per se. It was an intentional kind of morphing into the focus of helping entrepreneurs build businesses around their personal brands. That simple.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about, as you're going through this, I mean, I was my blog, when we first met, I mean, I was obviously doing some productivity writing, but for larger brands like the Next Web and Life Hack and all those places. But my blog was called Vardy.me. And then somewhere along the line, I think I mentioned it during a podcast where I said, I just off the cuff, again, this wasn't intentional, but I said, you know, I'm kind of like a productivityist is what I said. And all of a sudden, that's what people caught into. Someone blogged about it. They said, they called themselves a productivityist. And they said, I learned this from Mike Vardy. You coined the phrase. And I decided at that point that Vardy.me needed to be changed to productivityist. Now, I want to talk about personal brand building because the mistake I made, and this is maybe something that you probably find people doing, is that when they pivot or change or whatever, decide to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go from being this to this. I'm going to go from this area to this area, is that they try to make it impersonal. Like I went productivityist when I first started pushing it after the change of the name. I made it sound like it was a company, like it wasn't me, like I was the leader of it. And that didn't work so well. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because people want to do business with other people. I think that's the big thing. This is my P2P philosophy, which I've been harping on about for over 3 years now, that people-to-people connection and that focus on that relationship philosophy of doing business with other people as a person yourself. You know, the big brands will always want to do business with other big brands thing. Maybe it's a comfort factor. Maybe it's just an ego thing or whatever. But I truly believe, particularly when we talk about online business, that people want to do business with other people. That simple. And so I think probably one of the reasons why it hit or rather missed a little bit before it started hitting for you was the fact that, like you said, you started making it sound more like a company and less personal. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to go ahead and start blogging and creating content and building a brand around your own personal domain name, such as I do at chrisducker.com. You're walking, talking proof that you don't need to do that, Mike, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what you do need to do is be quite intentional in the way that you focus on building that brand based around whatever the brand is, whether it's your own name or a brand name in your case. So I think ultimately, it doesn't really matter one way or the other, but you've got to be intentional in the way that you set it up. And for me, without a shadow of a doubt, I would focus in on the fact that it's got to, you know, kind of live and grow and breathe around that P2P core philosophy.
Yeah, as soon as I made the shift, you know, back to saying it's me, I removed the we and put the I back in it and all that stuff. And yeah, I have a team that works with me, a small team, and it's growing. All of a sudden, it felt like I was being myself again. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused about personal branding and building your personal brand as a business, is that they feel that it's some of the authenticity might be removed from the equation. How do you get people when you work with them to kind of get around that? Because I don't think that's the case.
Well, no, I mean, look, like I said, people want to do business with other people. When I first started blogging, I was hiding, quite frankly, behind that virtual business lifestyle label. I wasn't going all out when I should have been going out on certain things, certain topics, subjects, opinion pieces, that kind of stuff. And I was pulling back mostly because I was concerned what some of my corporate clients would think about the things I was saying, first and foremost. Then I was pulling back a little bit because I felt like, to a certain degree, I didn't really have much clout in the space. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how much clout is enough? right? Like, you know, right. you think of somebody like a personal brand entrepreneur, such as, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk or Richard Branson, for example, they've got lots and lots and lots of clout. But still, I guarantee it, even Branson, maybe a little harder for Branson than Gary, but even Branson could probably sit at an airport somewhere and have thousands of people walk by him in the space of an hour and not recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
So how much is clout really worth? You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of it. But I think my issue was that I didn't want to upset people. I didn't want to ruffle feathers. But then when I made that decision in late 2012 to go full on with me as the brand, the overwhelming decision was to not hold back, was to be me all the time and to hell with the consequences. To a certain degree, right? It was like, well, and this is what, you know, the term I use is market like a magnet. You attract the best and repel the rest. And that's a tweetable, baby. but that's what we that's what we should be looking to do. We should be looking to do exactly that with the way that we put ourselves forward, with the content that we create, with, you know, what we say, when we say it, how we say it, where we say it. And if we do that, we will attract the right kind of people that will ultimately end up doing business with us in some capacity. And exactly the same time, we'll repel away the people that aren't going to be all about what we're about. And they're the people that you don't want. They're the toxic people. They're the time wasting people. They're the refund grabbing people. You don't want those people in your business or your life. You want the people that get you and what you stand for and what you're all about. And that's really what I focus in on. That's what I help other people do as well. And like I said, to hell with the consequences, because if you bring in the right people into your tribe, only good things can happen.
You know, one of the posts, in fact, I'm looking at your blog again right now, which is something, and again, it'll be in the show notes, but this post in particular, because I think a lot of people, when it comes to productivity, they don't do this, and I preach it too. And I also fall prey to not doing it. And you mentioned this in the post too, is why you need to slow down to achieve more.
Mm.
A lot of people have this preconceived notion that the faster they go, the better the results or the more they'll get done. And you talk about in this post, you know, the reasons behind. It's funny. You and I have talked about this before off the record, where, you know that I don't believe productivity is about speed. I believe we mentioned intention. To me, productivity is intention plus attention. Like that's the key to productivity, not speed. Speed comes, but it's got to be the other two things first. When did you, and you've gotten here, how you've burned out twice before. And it's funny, you know, we just finished seeing each other as we're recording this. I mean, this has been recorded a while ago, but we saw each other at FinCon in San Diego. And when I was there, it was the beginning of me traveling for about 4 weeks straight. Two of those weeks were not anticipated travel, and they came up. They were opportunities that showed up at the last minute. And instead of me, you know, maybe taking a step back and saying no to some of them, I actually said yes to all of them. And I experienced a brief period of, you know, like, whoa, I need to take a week off. I feel like burnout's coming on. How did you slow down? And how did you figure out, okay, how did you figure out the cadence of, oh, this is where, okay, things are speeding up too much. I'm going to pull things back.
Yeah, man. Look, you know, this was, the big one for me was that first real heavy burnout. The second burnout was nowhere near as bad. It only took me a few days to really kind of recover, quote unquote. The first one, late 2009, which I talk about in the introduction of Virtual Freedom, was the really hard one. That was like time in hospital. We're talking antidepressants and massive weight loss and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think, for me now, in terms of like, how did I slow down? I delegated like crazy, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of got over that first bout of burnout, and how I've kept it, you know, at bay ever since. Even though my output nowadays is, you know, higher and bigger than ever before, but because of the fact that I built the team around me to do what I need to do, and to serve the people that I serve. And I believe that you should serve first, not sell. You know, we should be serving our people more through our content, through our work, through our products, our services and everything. And if you serve people in the right way, the selling almost happens all by itself. Obviously, you've got to send those launch emails out, but ultimately the selling will take place pretty much on its own based on the fact that you've been serving on and off for so long. So that's what I focus on now. I focus on the serving of my audience and my community rather than kind of being stuck in the middle of it all. And really, it's come down to delegation, man. And not only that, but making the very clear distinction when it comes to the beginning and the end of my workday. I don't work Fridays. I haven't done for almost 4 years now. I call it hashtag no work Friday. And every Friday I go out and I just do something to have fun and completely unwind when the little one's still at school. And, it's me and the wife. And sometimes it's a double bill at the movie. Sometimes it's an extra yoga class. Sometimes we go and eat cake all afternoon. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing really cast in stone with it. And it's just about knowing when to switch off and knowing when to kind of flip the switch and say, no talking about work. No discussing projects or opportunities. Let's just bloody have some fun. And I think that's something that a lot of people, particularly in the entrepreneurial space, they've lost their way a little bit on that. And that's why so much pleasure seeing our good mutual friend Joel Comm come out with his new podcast entitled Fun, where he's talking to entrepreneurs about the importance of just bloody having fun. Nothing else. And I think it's important. So that's where we focus on. And, slowing down really came down to just delegating things out and focusing on what I should be doing and what only I can do, which 9 times out of 10 nowadays is just create the content that I create to serve people better.
We talk about delegation. I want to get into that a little bit, but I want to talk about just deleting. So just getting rid of something. When you're looking at the things that you – do you find that you're delegating it first and then it's just getting deleted because you've kind of freed up that bandwidth and said, you know what, forget it? Or do you find that before you delegate a lot of the stuff to your team or even kind of internally and say, okay, well, these are things that I feel only I can do, do you get to that point where you're finding you're, again, back to the idea of, achieving more by slowing down, that you're like, I'm going to – kill a couple of these things because it really doesn't serve as much as I'd like it to?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, look, the fact is, whenever we say yes to something, we instantly say no to something else, right? Mm-hmm. And I have, I've gotten to the point, definitely in the last 18 to 24 months where I've started to say no way more. Way more. And not just to things like opportunities or podcast interviews or speaking engagements or whatever, just no in general. Like, no, I'm not going to spend an hour, reading other people's tweets to see what they're up to gain me ideas for content, for example, which you can get great ideas from. No. I'm not going to do that. I will get someone else to do it for me and they can send me a little report based on what they think, that kind of thing. So I think that becomes very intentional, Mike, that deleting not only from your mental bandwidth, but also from your output bandwidth as well. I think that becomes very, very intentional. And I have become acutely aware of when I say yes to something, I'm saying no to something else. Again, going back to what I was talking about, I will only work on things that I truly believe that only I can and should be doing. Everything else is delegated.
One of the other things I know you do, and it's funny, I kind of look at the way, I was talking to somebody else about this today, about how I have to put myself in the shoes that only I can be in. For example, we have a lot of mutual friends that are single. They can travel, do whatever they want. They can live the mobile lifestyle. And then I'm like, oh man, they're doing so many awesome things. I wish I could do more of those things. And then I look at the back of my phone, which is a custom made case, and it's got my two kids on it. So I'm like, oh, well, there's two reasons why. Number one, these guys are paramount. Number two, that's why they're not able. That's why they're doing more is because are able to do more of those things because they don't have these two priorities in front of them. I want to talk about being everywhere. You talked about this with Pat Flynn, I believe, on a recent podcast, like a podcast, that one of your podcasts, that was like why it's important that you kind of put yourself out there in as many places as possible. I'm correct in that, right? You did talk
yes,
about
indeed,
that.
Yeah.
Now, when
within reason,
within that's my here's the caveat. When you see a tool like Vine, which died on the Vine not too long ago, where you see these,
you've been gagging to say that.
I've been waiting. Wait until Periscope fails, and be like, down Periscope. Anyway.
Oh no! Don't say that. I love Periscope way too much for it to die anytime soon. I love it.
But if that happens, like, how do you kind of just, when you're evaluating these things, are you saying, okay, I'm going to spend this much time on this. This is when I'm going to do these things so that you don't get scattered. Like you and I've talked about mm-hmm. batching before, or do you take a step back and evaluate and go, you know what, I'm going to end this thing now, and focus on something. Like, how do you balance that? Because I know a lot of people when they're starting their own entrepreneurial endeavors, and or even if they're not and they're just trying to figure all this stuff out, they don't know where to go, and they see somebody like Gary Vaynerchuk who's everywhere, and they're like, I can't possibly do that very well everywhere. They're being unrealistic about it. How do you, you know, wage that battle, for lack of a better term?
Well, you got to understand, people like Gary and I, we have teams behind us to help us be everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. do you think Gary is posting? Do you think Gary's editing every video?
Not a chance.
Do you think he's posting it to his YouTube channel? Do you think he's posting everything on his Instagram account? No, he's not. He's got a team of people helping him to do all that stuff. Do you think he's actually sitting there typing his blog posts? No. They're brilliantly written, and they're all based off of what he thinks and what he says and his opinion on things. But he's got a team of people helping him to create all this content, and he's very very honest with it. He puts it out there. You know, so I think to a newbie it can all become very 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 overwhelming, and I think that's why it's important not to become too much of a consumer of information, too much of a viewer of information, and more so focus on actually creating your own stuff. But to your point in regards to being everywhere, the game has changed in the last 6 months. It's changed in the last year, the last 18 months. And guess what? It will continue to change. It's called evolving. It's called life and business. It is what it is. And so because of that, I think it's also important for us to change regularly as well as other opportunities and put in front of us. For example, you mentioned Periscope. When Periscope hit the scene, you know, what was it? Very early on in 2000 or so of 2015 or so. You know, I was quite wary of live video as a whole, even though I believe I've got the personality and I can ad lib pretty well to do live video well. I was a little wary of it because it's bloody live. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But once I started using it and I started getting feedback from people and I started seeing how things were working, I was a complete believer. I fell in love with Periscope, and I still love Periscope. In fact, actually, I'll pick Periscope over Facebook Live at this point to do real live video broadcasts, because I just get a better turn up rate on Periscope than I do on Facebook Live. Plain simple. For live, in terms of overall reach, I think Facebook Live trumps Periscope still. But in terms of actual live broadcast, I think Periscope is still better. So that's where I focus my time on when I want real live interaction. But again, being everywhere means having a presence everywhere. It doesn't necessarily mean being everywhere all day long. So I think the rule of thumb here really is to pick two or three platforms on top of your own hub, so your own website, your home, on top of your own hub, maybe two, maximum of three platforms to spend a little bit of time on a regular basis throughout the course of the week. For me, it's Twitter, number one. It's Facebook, number two. And then it's usually Periscope, number three at this point. But I also spend a little bit of time on Instagram as well. So it really depends on how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, what type of content I want to share. And I think as long as you've got a good team behind you to help you, you can manage all those things relatively well. But for the newbie, don't get overwhelmed in watching what people like Gary and I and other people that are putting out a lot of content are doing. Focus on yourself. Do you. and be the best version of you that you can be to attract the right kind of people to you know, continue to serve.
So, Chris, you've got something going on with Upreneur that I want to make sure we close out with, because speaking of, you know, transformation, changes, things like that, there's something going on with Upreneur that, and based on all the stuff we've talked about today, and based on what, you know, I mean, all the work you put out there, I think it's something that my audience definitely needs to hear about. So can you give a sense of what's happened with Upreneur and where people can maybe get in on the, is it called Upreneur 2.0 at this point, you think, or?
I guess it's, you know, I think if we were to put a point oh on it, I think it would probably be Upreneur 3.0. So Upreneur was kicked off September 2015 as a entrepreneurial community online with lots of learning, with lots of content and proprietary content at that. And it was always kind of focused around being a mastermind community. We rejigged it and relaunched it in June 2016 with a brand new dashboard, brand new forum, brand new everything. And people went crazy for it. They loved it. But going into the latter part of 2016, what we discovered was that although people had access to all of the training content that we've got, although people had access to the forums, they weren't utilizing them as best as they should be for the fact that they were paying for access to this community, right? So we did some surveying. We got on Skype. We talked with a lot of our members, both old and new. And what we really discovered was that people actually wanted a little bit more of a program, a little bit more hand-holding in the first kind of infancy, should we say, of their membership. And so what we've done is we've kind of rejigged things again, and we've launched Upreneur now as a program, as an academy, ultimately. And that's what it is. It's an online brand business academy now. So we've got 3 months worth of hand-holding in regards to building your brand, marketing your brand, and then monetizing your brand into that kind of successful, profitable business. And there are worksheets and weekly emails and videos and live Q&A calls every month and all this kind of stuff. This is the stuff that people have wanted pretty much from day one, but they were not vocal enough for us to discover it right out the gate. But now, you know, like with most things, you speak with people enough, they'll eventually start opening up. And there was this kind of resounding feeling from everyone that they just wanted their hands held more at the beginning of that Upreneur journey. So that's what we've done. We've rolled it out. It's at Upreneur.com. That's Upreneur.com. We're bang smack in the middle of the launch right now. There's tons of bonuses and lots of other stuff people get in within the next week. But if you're listening to this after that, don't worry. There'll be a wait list. You can pop your email in and we'll be able to let you know when we open the doors next in a few months from now.
Chris, this has been great. I'm glad we finally got together to chat. I can't wait to see you at Tropical Think Tank. I can't wait to cross the pond for the first time. And I got to say, it's got to be 23 years. 23 years since I've been across the ocean. So, and I've never been to that part of the world. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'll put out a little prayer to the weather gods that you don't have too much of a bumpy ride. And we look forward to hosting you and the missus. And most importantly, I'm looking forward to seeing you throw value bombs like Pokemon balls out into the audience. Because I tell you, these guys are revved up that you're coming. They're looking forward to hearing from you. And we can't wait to host you, man.
Awesome. Where can people find you online? You've mentioned a whole bunch of stuff, but where's the best place for people to go to find you, both just in terms of your hub as well as socially?
Look, it's chrisducker.com. That's the, you know, the blog and the website over there, chrisducker.com. And then everywhere else online, I'm at Chris Ducker. Simple as that.
Awesome. Thanks again, Chris, for joining me.
All right. My pleasure.
Now, remember, Chris and I didn't have a lot of time to talk because he's a very busy guy. But we got a lot out there in the time period that you just listened to. But bonus content. Again, the books that he's read that he's surprised by. Using humor, you know, in what you do. You know, the idea of lessons learned through things like Tropical Think Tank, things like that, all in the bonus content that you'll be able to hear over at Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/productivities to learn more about that and all the perks you can get by contributing as little as $1 a month. And that just helps make the show better. John Polstra, my producer, thank you so much for producing this episode. Thanks to all of you for listening to this week's episode. And thanks to Chris for joining me, taking the time out of his busy schedule to spend some time with me and share his thoughts and ideas with you. That's it for this week's episode. I will be back next week with a shiny new episode. Until then, remember to stop guessing and start going.